Hello and welcome back to another episode of Why We Play. This is Brendan coming back at you with another fantastic interview today from a member of the Kind of Funny forums. I'm going to go ahead and let him introduce himself. So,
all right. So my name is Eugene Helfrich from Tampa, Florida. I've been playing games for pretty much as long as I can remember, and I'm also a big hockey fan. So if you're hockey fans out there, we all waiting for the playoffs now. So.
No joke. So, are you originally from Tampa, or do you?
I'm from a small city outside of Tampa called Myakka City. It's got about 3,000 people in it, more cows than people. went to Tampa when I was going to college, and been sticking around the area because I like the area. Some unique Tampa claims to fame: there's more strip clubs per capita than Las Vegas. So. It's a weird city to live in, but it's fun city to live in. So
no, that's actually I was born there.
Oh really?
Yeah, I was. I'm from Tampa originally. I can't really. It's hard for me to claim Tampa. I've only lived there for probably about like 5 to 6 years of my life.
Yeah, growing up. Yeah,
it wasn't even growing up. Like, we moved away.
Oh,
when I was like one, and then we came back when I was like eight. And then we moved away again when I was like 11, and that's when we went over and we lived in the Middle East for a year, and then we moved to Germany.
Ah.
And then when I moved back stateside, I moved back to Tampa, and that's where I met my now wife. And now we went to Texas because I joined the Air Force, and now I'm in Atlanta, and that's it.
So you've seen a little bit of the whole world there.
Oh, just a little bit. So
that's a good thing.
So Eugene, what are you playing right now? What games are you into?
Yeah, right now I've been having a mixture of things, trying to find that right thing to itch. I've been playing a lot of Titanfall over winter, because for whatever reason, that one caught me right in the right nerve. I'm sure everyone knows how that is. When you're playing something, you don't know why you like it, but you just keep playing it. I was playing Danganronpa on the Vita. Finished that last week, and that was fantastic. That's one. If you heard anyone talk about Danganronpa and you've been think it's interesting, if you like reading, it's a great mystery novel.
That also just got HD release on PlayStation 4 now too. So it's
That came out this week.
Super accessible now.
Exactly. Now it's everywhere. It's on PC, PS4, Vita. If you are interested in it, pick it up because it's worth supporting those guys because they know how to write a story.
And the third one's coming out later, and I'm super psyched for it, man. That game's gonna be great.
Yeah, it's probably gonna be getting my pre-order, which I don't do that very often, but I gotta support those guys because that's not a big game necessarily, but it's 3 could break a million if it goes really well. That'd be exciting.
Nah, that's super cool, man. What else you got?
Everyone, like I say. So besides that, I've been trying to get into Doom. Doom is one of those weird games where everyone loves it, and I just can't get into it for some reason. And I know everyone's got one of those games that's like that, where you play for a half hour, and you're like, I'm going to go do something else for a little bit. And then you come back a couple days later and play it for a half hour and kind of do that for a couple weeks with it.
So that's interesting. What about Doom is bouncing off of you?
The funny thing is, I think it's just Bethesda games in general I have this problem with. Because I did the same thing with Machine Games' last game, which was Wolfenstein, and Fallout 4 was a similar thing. Fallout 4, I played it for 20 hours and just stopped playing it and never went back to it. And Wolfenstein, if it wasn't for the story, I probably would stop playing it. I think it's just something with the way their first person is. It never really clicks with me for some reason, which is weird because I said a game like Titanfall works fine, but Doom, it's just been too much. Either it's too fast, or I don't know what it is, but it never really clicks with me.
No, Doom.
I've never understood.
Doom is a really fast game. That's actually why I dug it more than other first person shooters of that ilk that year.
Exactly. Yeah. No, you're on ice skates the whole time. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes I just can't get into it. I don't know why.
Yeah, the multiplayer is garbage, but
it's awful. Like, dear God, I played like 3 rounds of it. Never want to open it again.
No, it's.
I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, it's so bad. Well, they farmed it out to another studio to do. It wasn't actually id who developed the multiplayer side of it. It was a certain affinity.
That makes sense because I know the new Quake's coming out soon, or I think it's this year. It should be coming out and. Quake's one of those games where if you can't get the multiplayer right, that whole game falls apart. So hopefully they get it right that time.
Well, that game is only multiplayer. I think it's actually a...
is it only multiplayer? Good.
I think it's only a free-to-play shooter.
That's right. I was thinking of the other one, Unreal, I think is the one that they supposed to come out. It's in beta right now. So I was playing one of them recently, and it was good, but it was really early still.
Yeah. But yeah, no, Doom was probably like in my top 3 favorite games that year.
That's what everyone's always telling me, and I just not clicking with me for some reason. But it's kind of funny how that is.
I just like literally that was my I'm going to come home. I'm going to put headphones on I'm going to crank that Mick damn Jagger, hardcore Mick metal, Gordon, yeah. clangy metal electronic mixture soundtrack blaring in my ears and just shoot enjoy the fuck out of some demons,
for
man.
A couple
it
hours,
was,
yeah.
It was such a good time.
Yes.
Such a good time. So, you got Doom, which you're not feeling right now. You got Danganronpa right. and Titanfall. Is it Titanfall 2, I assume, right?
Titanfall 2, yeah, the newest one. So,
is there actually still a player base for that?
Oh, God, no. That's one reason why I've been going away from it. It's so bad now that they actually combine all the lobbies into one, essentially, which is always like a mixed bag now in order to try and keep some... you know, player base going, which is a shame because it's a fun multiplayer game when you want to jump in, turn your brain off and hit things with robots. But
no, I played Titanfall 2 at launch with all my friends, right? And like yeah. even then, right after launch,
it died.
The NA servers were only at like 80,000 at peak that I ever saw. And I was what?
Most nights you're lucky to get 1,000 if you're on there.
Wow. I didn't realize it dropped off
that
hard.
Yeah. Well, I think it's so bad. EA's pretty much dropped most of its expansions, because I don't think they've put out an expansion for it since almost January.
Jeez,
so.
I didn't even realize that. Like, as soon as I saw the player base, and I'm an avid Overwatch player, so
yep.
on Xbox, so like that's the game I can't step away from.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's got one of those. Mine's Paragon right now. Don't know
oh,
why.
Oh, really?
Yep, I got big into Paragon for some reason, so.
So what about that clicks? Because, like, I tried it and bounced off of it entirely.
Yep. I've always kind of liked the League of Legends style games, the MOBAs, but the problem is, especially with League of Legends, the player base is very toxic. If you don't play everything perfectly, there's going to be somebody screaming at you, either through text or through other means, and it just got old really quick. Where Paragon, it's a quiet game because no one really is on keyboard too much if you're playing on PS4. And it's quiet, so it's kind of nice just kind of jump in, do your team thing as best you can without over-communicating. And if you can get a couple buddies in with you, it's actually pretty fun. But even that one started dying off on me after a little while because they patch it so much because it's still early on, and the game changes significantly every month or two. And after a little while, you just kind of get bored of trying to keep up with it.
No, that makes sense. I have to have one of those games. Overwatch, like I said, is mine right now.
Exactly.
Even for me, like, some of these changes, I'm just like, huh. I don't know if I can keep up with this or not, but I still play constantly as much as I can. right now, it's really hard because there are so many damn games coming out.
I know. What's wrong with this year? Let's see. So far, we've had, what, Neo, Horizon, Zelda, Nier... And what was the fifth one that's the big one I'm forgetting?
You have Mass Effect Andromeda coming out
Tuesday.
That's
Tuesday, which is insanity.
But even if you go back a month and a half, you have Resident Evil 7, too.
That's
which...
right, 7. RE7 was the other one. So that's, what, six games that could be the top game of the year for most years, and you've already had six of them like that.
And then you have Persona 5 coming out in
Persona 5.
3 weeks. Like, oh, man, yep. You have no idea. I'm still trying to figure out a way to take off work for Persona.
I understand that fully.
That's, you need it, right? Because that's like a fucking 800-hour game.
It's one of the things. Persona is an interesting series for me because when Persona 4 came out, I was in my sophomore year of high school. And in this really strange way, Persona 4 hit me at the perfect time where it's like, explain to me why high school is high school and why you should take it too seriously. And it really just worked at that moment for some reason. And then as an adult, I went back and replayed Persona 4, and I appreciated it for the gameplay, but didn't have near that like emotional effect. But I'm just really excited for Persona 5 because I have that's one of my nostalgia games. That's like my Zelda. For a lot of people, Zelda Ocarina of Time is the game where it hit them in their childhood. But for me, Persona is that game where it's like I have this weird nostalgic love for that game. And no matter what they do, I bought everything they released for in the last, you know, 5-6 years. And I've had like Persona 5 pre-order since like PS3 in 2008 or something like that.
No, Persona 4, I wasn't even in high school. This was probably about a year ago. Is actually, I picked up Persona 4 Golden on Vita, and, like, I don't know, that game hit me.
Everyone, like I said, it doesn't
matter who it
is. Exactly. I guess it shows you, the games that do characters properly, they're rare, and you don't realize how hard it is to get a game that has characters that are done right, and especially over a long game like that. The fact that you're still learning things about, you know, characters like Kanji and Yosuke, who you meet early on, and you're learning stuff about them all the way to the very end of the game, which is like 120 hours later, is impressive in ways that you don't really respect until you play other games. Even Danganronpa, which is a great character game, wasn't anywhere near what Persona was.
No, and that's exactly what it was. Like, you got to choose who you were going to build and develop that relationship with. And at the end of the day, like, it was... I've spent a lot of time thinking about Persona 4 because it is probably in my top three games of all time.
Yep, same here.
And really, when you sit down and you dissect it, like, okay, so the combat's, you know, it's JRPG. We've been doing this for a while. It's got, you know, the Shin Megami Tensei.
Yep.
Exactly. It's got that mix to it. The dungeons really aren't that great. Like, it's all procedural generated.
They're all the same thing, just you go straight, left, right, that's about all there is.
And the story is just kind of a weird Scooby-Doo mystery, like the main through line.
Exactly. It should be, it shouldn't work on paper. Everything about that sounds unappealing on paper, but when you play it, you just can't get out of it for some reason. It's perfect for some crazy reason it works.
And it's because of how well written that game is, honestly, and the characters, the characterization and the development of each member that you meet throughout the entire, you know, like you said, 120 hours of that game. It's just easily. Like,
yeah.
I still walk around singing the Juness theme every once in a while at work.
Anyone who plays that game has at one point in their life sung the Juness theme at an inappropriate time.
Yeah, because
it's not who you are, how old you are, it's gonna happen.
I get looked at work. I'm all, every day is great at your Juness.
Yep, it happens. We've all had that moment.
And they're like, "What is wrong with you?" Like, okay, so...
And you give them the game and say this will change your life, so...
So, what was... How did you start playing games?
Well, it started out, like, pretty much anyone in the 90s. You had an NES in your household somewhere. Whether you own it or not, it just showed up at your door, it seemed like. And the funny thing is, I remember as a kid, I remember playing the NES, and I play, you know, Mario, and you jump into some things like Ninja Gaiden 2, I think, with the one we had, or some of the various sports games and shooters and stuff like that, and I never really knew that there was, like, more than two or three levels, because I was so bad at games as a kid. I would just die every time and reset, and I'd always play that first train level on Ninja Gaiden 2 forever, pretty much. But,
yeah, everybody was like that, man. Everybody exactly. was like that.
And then you go back and play the games nowadays, and you realize they weren't really necessarily hard, it's just you didn't understand how they worked as a kid, of course. But I grew up playing those a lot. We got a Genesis, I want to say 97, 95, 6, somewhere in there. A couple years after it was finishing up, and played the Sonics. And Sonic was one of the first games I really started understanding how it worked. I remember getting farther in the games and getting towards the bosses and the final bosses and that. But I really didn't, you know, fully grasp video games until almost the PS2 era, which what 2000, 2001 is when I really started understanding, like, oh, you can finish games. There's an end to these things. The first one I really played through by myself as a, I guess, kid at the time, I think I was 10, was Jak and Daxter. That's the first one I played through all the way with save points and beat the main story and everything. And that was it's one of those moments where you don't realize why you felt like you accomplished something, but you really felt like you accomplished something when you finished the game for your first time as a kid. And then all the mascot platformers of that era of PS2, the Sly Cooper, the Ratchet Clanks, and Jak and Daxter's, they kind of just almost became like a religion to me, where it's like they come out every year, and you play all of them you could get a hold of and play them for pretty much a year straight, 100% everything you could in them. And then you do it again the next year.
Yep, for sure. I mean, I remember the first game that I actually beat, like, through and through was a game on the Sega Saturn called Clockwork Knight. I think I've talked about this before.
I've heard of Clockwork Knight, yes.
And you look back now, and that game is it's not good, like, by any stretch of any imagination. Yep. It's not good. But there was this weird satisfaction of seeing credits.
Exactly, because you never knew they existed until you got there.
Exactly, and then you would turn around, and this was even, I didn't have a memory card in my Saturn, so, like, I had to beat it in one sit through, all the way through. And I would turn around, and I would do it all over again.
Yep.
And that's just what you did, like.
Well, and that's why I look back as a kid, and I think about, like, the things you would do, I guess just because you had time. You had abundance of time and then not enough responsibilities to do anything else with it. So you would play a game, you know, for hours at a time, or I said, play a game with no memory stick, or go through the Mario for 100 times over and over and over again until you finally figured out how to get by that third level that you kept dying on or whatever else. And I look back as an adult, and I don't know if I could do that anymore because, you know, I die 4 times in Dark Souls, and I'm ready to quit the game forever.
No, for sure, man. Dark Souls is something I get about, like, half to three quarters of the way through, and then I get just so fucking pissed.
Exactly.
That I cannot play it anymore, and I'm just like, I'm done. I'm done. I can't do it. And then I try to go back. I'm like, all right, man, I'm almost done with this game. I got to go back and I beat it. I got to go back and beat it, right?
Yep.
And then it happens again, but this time it's because I forgot how to fucking play.
Yeah, those games, the Dark Souls and Bloodborne, stuff like that, once you forget, once your hands forget the muscle memory, it's an uphill battle from there.
Yeah, that's where I, that's pretty much where I just check out. And I'm like, all right, man, this, I appreciate these games and I have fun when I'm doing well.
Exactly.
And I get that feeling like when I beat a boss, I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I'm the best dude alive right now. And then like I turn around and the skeleton just like lops the head off and it just big old blood, you died. And I'm like, oh my God, I died again.
He smacks you in the face and you gotta start over again.
Exactly. And so then I just turn around and I play something that like I would go play Overwatch and I feel better.
Exactly. Well, like for me, the games I play, I used to play a lot of was fighting games. I was real big into them for a while. And those are kind of the example of there are days you play fighting games and you can't lose. And those are the best days of the year. And then there's days you play a fighting game and you can't win. And for some reason, when you're in a losing streak, you always feel like your best option is to keep playing until you win a game. And then you end up going something like 0-35 for the night. And you just hate everything after that point. So
yeah, I used to do that in the early days of like competitive gaming. And now like my steadfast rule, especially in Overwatch now, is if I lose 3 in a row, I need to walk away.
Just walk away for the night, exactly.
Because I'm already tilted and it's never going to get better.
If there's anything we can teach anybody who listens to the podcast is after no one walk away because you're just going to stop enjoying it. You know, after 3 or 4 losses, just walk away, do something else for a while because you're not going to be enjoying yourself after that point.
See, the more you know.
Da-da-da. Exactly. do the rainbow sound there. So.
Oh my gosh, man. Reading rainbow is the bomb.
But don't I think we can all agree for that.
I haven't had a Reading Rainbow reference in a long time.
I'm glad to get one in there for you. So anytime you need one, just give me a call.
I think about it every once in a while, man. I'm like, oh, yeah. Man, Reading Rainbow, man. The shit was the bomb.
So what I'm hearing is we need to make a Reading Rainbow video game is what I'm hearing. So,
weren't they doing something with Reading Rainbow where they were going to like
they did a Kickstarter. They got like $1 million or $2 million. I think about a year and a half ago, and they were going to start refilming it, and I don't know what happened since then.
I don't know either. I need to look back into that because that is something I need to know. Because exactly. I don't know Reading Rainbow in my life.
I feel like everyone should know about this. That should just post that on like every YouTube page.
There we go. Perfect. That's my new. I'm going to start a Reading Rainbow podcast, and this is all we're going to talk about is just Reading Rainbow.
Beautiful. I think you got a million podcasts there.
Perfect. I'm in. I got this. You're coming with me on this journey, on this venture. Because
on this venture, I love it.
It needs to happen.
I agree.
So the future of gaming is now like okay. So where do you see games actually sort of heading to now? So we have this is. And I just had a conversation about this with somebody I was just talking to. It feels like, especially with this generation, it's like a second renaissance of gaming, right? So we're coming out of... We came out of the 360 PS3 area, and it was kind of a moot time. A lot of it was very samey. A lot of the games were felt... There were gems in there, like Last of Us and the Uncharted series and games like that, but a lot of it felt very uninspired.
Right.
And a lot of the same stuff over and over again. Whereas with this generation, we seem to be moving in a lot of different directions, right?
So you have in a smarter path.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they reach broader audiences, right? So you have games that last in perpetuity, like Overwatch, or you have super narrative games like Horizon Zero Dawn, which I need to put more time into that.
Yeah, that's another fantastic one.
Or even the most recent, you have these incredible literal open worlds like The Legend of Zelda.
Right. Well, it's interesting when you look at how gaming's been last, because, you know, even 15 years, how much has changed, and we're finally seeing some culmination of people finally sitting down, thinking about where we should be going, actually doing things towards gamers instead of towards bottom lines. Because if you look back, like, the PS2 era, a lot of those games, it was still early enough in 3D, that they were just starting to understand how it worked, but they didn't understand how to really capitalize on it yet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you had things like PS2 that were successful, but those are successful because it was relatively cheaper. It was a cheap DVD player, and it could do Netflix they found a way to make Netflix work on it in Brazil, and that's why it lasted for so long. If you take out the DVD player and take out the Netflix, it would have probably only sold, you know, not half, but it would have sold significantly less over the time. And then when you got to the PS3, Xbox 360, and kind of the Wii era, if you want to throw the Wii in there, everyone was always playing catch up. It started with the Wii doing, or actually really started with Gears of War being so successful on 360, that everyone, you know, saw that one. That's what makes money now, is that in Halo 3 at the time. Add the next gen filter, so everything's gray or a slight orange, and you know it'll sell a million copies. And then you had people going, well, the Wii was successful, so we got to do our own version of the Wii now, because that's what sells copies. And I think a lot of that comes back to everyone's very, at least for as long as gaming's been around, I feel like everyone's always ready to write it off. I feel like it's, you know, when you look back at 10 years ago, everyone was saying, oh, PC gaming's dead. It'll never be revived. It's dead forever. Don't bother with it. And then through Valve and Steam, of course, it found a whole entire new life and is arguably one of the strongest of the three platforms now.
No, agree.
And then in 2011, you can find probably, you know, 100 articles written by various people in the gaming media who said, oh, now the console gaming is completely dead. There's absolutely no way it can be revived. It's just going to be a slow, steady decline for the next couple generations, then it'll disappear. And then PS4 comes out, and it sold 50 million units in in 3 years, which is staggering for something that's completely dead. And even the Xbox One, for all the shit it's been given as it's gone on here, it's still selling fantastically. It's not as good as 360, but still going to sell, you know, probably 40, 50 million units, which is really strong, considering how bad their marketing was early on.
Yeah, it was that was a train wreck.
100%. Exactly. And if you think about how much train wreck that was for it to still potentially reach 40 or 50 million units, it's complete insanity. You're looking at this generation could be 140 million without even including the Switch, if the PS4 keeps up on the current path. And then if the Switch comes out, it's already sold 1.5 million units, allegedly. That could easily hit another 25, 30 million. So between that and PC gaming, which is anyone who has a computer and Steam can play, you know, at the worst, some basic games. And you're looking at a market that's a lot stronger than people realized it was and wasn't ready to be written off yet. And that's why I think the future is going to be is people, console manufacturers, understanding who they are, how they work with PC like they are now. Because a lot of it, what you're seeing is everything's going, this is the PC or the console exclusive, and it's on PC. Because that's, when it comes down to it, if a company is not making money, they won't make games anymore. So you got to make the markets as big as possible, which either is having on most consoles or having on a console and a PC. And, you know, trying to use that money they're making and doing smaller passion projects. Kind of like Ubisoft did for a while there with the UbiArt projects.
What happened with those?
I think they did the three that they were contracted for, and it's gone on the shelf for a while because they didn't necessarily make money. They just made art.
Yeah, but those games were still, like...
They were fantastic,
amazing.
Though. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, Rayman was it Origins of Legends. There was Child of Light and the... Nine Hearts. That's the one. And all of them were fantastic. But I said, and they didn't necessarily make money, but they were almost like a love letter to people who enjoyed writing, enjoyed gaming, and it almost felt like it was the people working at Ubisoft just going, I just want to have fun, and they said yes to it. And I think you're seeing some more of that where companies are making decisions that wouldn't necessarily be allowed or applied last generation because it was too much of a risk. You're seeing a lot more of the indie stuff doing things that were outside the norm, or you're seeing Sony doing things like Journey, which was at the end of last generation, or... some smaller games that they're investing money in, like The Drawn to Death comes out next week or next month. That was a David Jaffe's love child for like the last 2 years and stuff like that. And I think you'll keep seeing more and more of that, where it's consoles, which will have their big games. You know, you also have the Halos, you also have the Gears of War, you'll have whatever Naughty Dog's doing, and then you'll have the smaller things that are either paid for by the big corporations to kind of show that they aren't completely evil, which I feel like that's a lot of what they're fighting against, is trying to make themselves not look like they're stupid all the time, like certain companies have done with running things into the ground, like Call of Duty. Or you're going to see, hopefully, along with it, you're going to see a revival of Nintendo, and Nintendo actually understanding how to be a game company again and not being Nintendo about everything.
So that's funny, because this is like the second episode in a row that like, that's been uttered, right? That, like,
yes.
Nintendo has the potential of being the greatest hardware and software manufacturer that this industry has.
Exactly.
But they just Nintendo the shit out of themselves and just make these weird asinine decisions that make that don't make much sense, especially in the given landscape.
Right.
PlayStation and Xbox have both proved this time and time again.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Nintendo's so frustrating because, you know, everyone grew up a Nintendo fan, intentionally or not, or you're a Sega fan, of course. But at some point, you had an NES at your house, it seems like, and everyone had played Mario or has played Mario at some point in their life, and I think we all want to see Nintendo give us a reason to buy their stuff again. Because the Wii U, if you weren't a hardcore fan, which I wasn't hardcore enough to buy a Wii U, and it never gave me a reason to. And I'm looking at the Switch, and there's a lot there to be happy with so far. I'm hoping that come a year in, we'll have that backlog of games that makes Nintendo console a Nintendo console and make it in where you have to purchase it. You have to have, you know, an Xbox or PS4 and a Wii U in order to play everything that you want to see. And I want to see Nintendo do it. I want them to prove me wrong because they've been kind of in a ditch for the last 5 years. And everyone wants a healthy Nintendo.
So that's funny because I actually just recently picked up a Wii U, mostly because, you know, my daughter's starting to get into games more now too, and so you know Mario's a good avenue for that. But actually, if you sit and you look at the catalog of the Wii U, like it's solid, as the games are coming out, you're like, fuck man, I got like 2 games a year on this thing.
Yeah, but
once it's all said and done, like there's easily like 15 great games on there to play.
Right, and well, that's what's so frustrating about, because there's great games on there, but they never told you they were there, if that makes any sense. Like, I feel like Nintendo was always never really understood what they had there and how to work with it. And, yeah, no, it's one of those things, like, there are some really good, like, even just between Bayonetta 2, Smash Brothers, the Mario Karts, and then Mario games come out with every console. There's some great games on it.
And even now, like, I'm playing Breath of the Wild on Wii U, and it's still, like, I wish I had it portable everywhere. I'm actually in the process of looking for a Switch because, like, for my lifestyle, that would actually, like, I've said this before, but that would be, like, the perfect console. Because I loved my Vita for the same reason, right?
Well, that's what's so frustrating to me, because the Vita was a fantastic console. And anyone who disagrees with me has never owned one or played one before, because it's one of the best handhelds that you're going to have, especially at the time. And it's such a shame to see the way it was treated by Sony and at large, because they had something that could have been special, and they kind of just dropped the ball on it.
I mean, they just stopped all first-party support for that. Now it's indie games and the Japanese, like, small publishers of, like, Atlases,
yeah.
Yeah, that are keeping those things afloat. Like that.
Yeah, which is such a shame, because they really could have had something special with it. Maybe not sell as well as the 3DS, but it could have sold a lot better than it did. But they mismarketed it and missold it and didn't understand what people really wanted, I guess.
So do you think that if Sony came out with a handheld now, in this Sony climate that we've seen with the astronomical success of the PS4, right?
Right.
Do you think that it would do better in this climate than it did, you know, last gen?
I think this Sony at least would understand how to do it properly this time. Because obviously the Vita is a relic of the time, because it was still stuck in the PS3 mindset. The kind of asinine use of their homemade memory cards there. It's a perfect example of that. I mean, even if you just take out the memory cards and put in, you could use micro SD or something like that, you would have sold more units. So I feel like the Sony nowadays could make a handheld that could, you know, compete with the market. But I think the smartest choice they can make is understanding how to utilize phones properly and find ways to actually make it so your phone can play the games you want handheld, whether it's finding a way to make it so your phone docks into a controller of some kind, or like a PS4 controller that you dock into or something like that and runs an app. Because everyone has a phone in their pocket, and if you can find a way to utilize those properly, that could be where they actually make their money on it. And then through a design like the PS Now subscription, if they figured that out, that could be where they really change the market on handhelds.
Nintendo's right now, trying to get you to use your phone.
Exactly. Well, that's the problem, and they're not doing it very well. That's the issue.
Not well is an understatement. That's a travesty if I ever heard one before.
It's not been good. Well, that's the problem is, I mean, mobile gaming is such a weird market, because if you're a gamer, there's really aren't any mobile games out there that are going to hold your interest for more than an hour. And even then, there's so many that are just straight terrible. But if you're not a gamer, you have no reason to buy a Vita or even you know, 3DS is hard, even can be a hard sell for some people if they're not gamers, because they're $300. That's a lot of money to spend something that you can't make phone calls on. Exactly. Or text on. That's why I said the market's kind of weird there now, because I don't know where the mobile market goes. And then that's another reason why I'm kind of rooting for the Switch, because if the Switch is successful, it shows that there could be an in-between still.
We might be able to get another Vita.
Exactly, a Vita 2 or a PlayStation, some sort of PlayStation handheld of some kind that understands what a handheld's supposed to be and supports it properly.
No, I agree. So we've talked a lot about Sony and PlayStation on this, you know, inadvertently, right? It's just
they're the big player right now in the market. So,
do you have a PSVR?
I do not. VR is one of those things I haven't experienced it yet, so I don't understand the hype behind it.
Because if you look at last year, like that was the buzzword, right?
VR.
Virtual reality. You had Oculus, you had Vive, and you had PlayStation, and venture capitals flying into all these different developers to make VR games. But they're not. I mean, like, units aren't flying off the shelves. I mean, yeah, PSVR is, surprisingly. I mean, they've shipped over, at this point, over a million, right?
They broke a million, which is shocking, yeah.
But everything else is, like, at, like, a half a million. And this was, like, supposed to be the new big craze. I have had the pleasure of trying VR, and I fully understand where people are coming from. And I if I could talk myself into spending the money to buy a PSVR... I would definitely do it.
Well, that's always going to be the problem for VR right now. So if you look at, you know, if the PSVR is 400, Vive and Oculus are, what, 600, 800, not including a PC?
Yep.
It's just, it's not a viable market right now just because of the entry costs. I mean, someone like me, I'm a huge gamer. I would love to own those things and try them out, but for something that could just be a gimmick that's going to be dropped in a year or two. And then you look into what's happening with, I think, Oculus getting all those lawsuits right now from, was it Vivendi? I think it is.
Yeah.
And we don't know what could happen with that, because if those go far enough where they actually have to put a freeze on manufacturing for a while.
ZeniMax.
That's been ZeniMax. That's the one, yeah. That could really reshape the market, and doesn't look positive if that happens.
It's not only but it's high entry cost, and there's no software behind it. Like, you're going to spend $400 on a unit, and you're going to play Resident Evil 7 and Thumper and what?
Batman.
Batman. And then, on Oculus and Vive, it's. I mean, there are a couple titles like that on there, too, but, I mean, nothing's... You know, you're not going to write home about it. Like, Super Hot VR would be super cool, because Super Hot VR is super hot.
Fantastic to start with, yeah.
But, I mean, other than that, like, there's really not much other than a bunch of tech demos. And
well, that's what worries me, because it reminds me of the Vita when it came out, because the Vita came out and everyone said, oh, there's nothing to play for it, so no one bought it, so then no one made anything for it, because they were told no one was there. And it almost kind of worries me, because I don't want to see what happened to the Vita happen to something again, where it's something that's actually good that's not being utilized properly. But you could see it happening very, very quickly and very easily. And we'll definitely know at this E3 if Sony doesn't talk about VR at all, then it might have already been kind of a end of the line for them on it, because this is the year they got to hit it.
They were all very surprised at the sell through of PSVR, according to, you know, the reports from Andrew House that were coming out and stuff like that. So, like, I think they're happy with the success. It's just like, you have to support it with software.
Exactly. Where does it go from here? Is there going to be games that work on it?
And, like, in the PlayStation Experience, they had the sizzle reel, but, like, they didn't even name any of the titles that were on there.
No, it was just, you know, these are pictures of things that exist, but good luck finding them, which is a shame.
So, I mean, they need to do a better job at selling the VR, and out of all three of them, they have the best chance of pushing that into the
next
mainstream market, honestly.
Right, because that's where they got to get to. If they can get it to the point where VR is more than just a gimmick, then they might be on to something. But that could take years, which is the problem. Can they afford years?
I mean, they're selling units on the consoles themselves. I mean, time will tell, right? So
right, and so all we can hope for is you want to see anytime a company makes an investment like this, whether it be Oculus or Valve or Sony, that it pays off in the end. And all we can do is kind of root for them and when the opportunity presents themselves, purchase the things when you can, but it's still a price point that's a lot for people to enter, and you got to kind of wait and see where it shakes out after, you know, 6 months, 1 year, you know, 2-3 years sort of thing.
Exactly. It's not like a new console where, you know, eventually down the line it's at least going to be supported.
Right.
To a point. Like, this is brand new tech that really, like, I mean, VR has been out before, but it was never good.
No, it was never usable.
So
it's now the whole new world of what it could be.
Yeah, so, like, the potential is limitless. It just needs to be acted upon.
Utilized. Yeah. Actually, yeah. Money and time put into it.
Exactly. You've been absolutely fantastic on this episode. I feel like I said that every one of them, but, like, I do. Like, it seems like I've gotten lucky, I think. And I've actually cultivated a lot of interesting conversations out of this show.
That's good.
But you've been amazing. So, this is the topic that I'm now aptly going to name the Shameless Plug segment.
Yes.
Where can people find you?
All right. Well, my plug is, in my spare time, I'm a writer. I self-published my first novel back in September, which is titled Fighting the Western Sky. I'm heavily influenced by, you know, gaming in my writing in many ways. It's still a novel. It's an adventure novel at heart. It's very, I've gotten very good reviews on it so far, but I haven't had a huge response on it by any means. It's a 99 cents on Kindle if you go to Fighting the Western Sky on Amazon, or is it $10 for a physical version of the book? Or you can email me at either EugeneHelfrich@gmail.com or FightingTheWesternSky@gmail.com. Or you can find me on Twitter at FTWesternSky. And if you contact me on there, I can even send you some free copies of it if I have any available. I got some physical copies I'd be happy to send out if people are interested in it.
Why am I finding out about this now?
I know, it just didn't come up before. So.
Like, what?
That'll be for the next time you need a podcast. I can jump on and talk to you, and we'll talk about writing and stuff like
yes,
that.
Yes, okay, you're coming right back. Now.
I didn't want to even pull my writing into it, so.
Holy God, okay, there's that. So yeah, that's going to happen, so.
Yes, we'll do one because I'm a writer and I'm a board game designer in my spare time because I love designing characters and rules because I'm insane. What? So we'll come back on the podcast and we'll talk about writing and game design.
Oh my God, okay.
I know. I'm the kid that keeps on giving, so.
Holy God, that, like, you have no idea, like, the mind was just blown.
Oh, yeah, no, I like getting people with that, because people never expect me to be a writer, so.
Wow, okay, I guess it's time for my shameless plugs, and I have nothing on par with that.
Don't worry, you're doing a podcast, that takes time in its own self, so.
Yeah, but it's no written penmanship word over here. You can find me on Twitter at NadNerb, that's NadNerb, and you can find this show on Twitter at Why We Play Show. Email the show at whywePlayShow@gmail.com, especially if you want to be a guest on this show. Don't hide your writing talents from me.
But come on, I gotta get the honest reaction, right?
And don't hide your game designing background behind me. these are things I like to know. Like, okay. If you could spare a minute of your time, go ahead and leave a review on iTunes. I'm still blown away. I can't even get through this without just like...
I love it. That's why I did it to you.
So
I want to see your reaction. That was kind of fun.
So. Oh, man. If you could find a minute of your time, please drop us an iTunes review. That would be greatly appreciated. I'm also, if you just want to personally send me feedback, just send it to the email, whywePlayShow@gmail.com. And that's going to do it for us. Eugene, you've been mind-blowingly something else, and this has been fantastic.
Love being on here. Hopefully I'll be on again. So.
Oh, yeah. After these bombshells you literally dropped in the last 3 minutes of this, like, you were definitely coming back.
I love it.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for me and Why We Play. Keep playing games, and let's have a conversation.